All right, welcome back. This is Jim Hobgood alongside Frank Maloney. You're listening to Who's Talking. We have on hold PGA golf professional Steve Marino that Frank will introduce right now.
Very quickly, we could talk quite a while about Steve. He's really quite accomplished. Originally born in Oklahoma, his family moved to Fairfax, Virginia back in 1991. His golf game took off at the age of 14. In his senior year in high school, he won the Virginia High School Championship and earned a scholarship to UVA. At the end of his first year at Virginia, he won the Virginia Amateur Championship, eventually helped to lead the Cavaliers to the NCAAs, where they finished 25th, I believe, in their only showing during his tenure there in Charlottesville. Since 2002, when he graduated with a degree from UVA, he's continued his golf career. He played on the Nationwide Tour. He got his PGA Tour card actually in 2006, and he eventually qualified for the main tour through Q School. His career best tournament finish came last year when he finished tied for second at the Crown Plaza Invitational. He lost a heartbreaker in the playoff, but it was a very valuable lesson for him, and I'm sure it didn't hurt his wallet too much. So far this year, he's having a pretty darn good year in 2010. And in fact, he's on the phone with us now. He's down in Houston, Texas, playing in the Shell Open. So we're excited to bring on none other than Steve Marino. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. How's it going, guys?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
How are things in Houston? Is it warm down there?
It is. It's pretty warm, actually. I heard they had a terrible winter. It actually snowed here three times, but you would never guess it right now with the weather.
You know, Frank had one of the questions down here. What are you trying to accomplish at the Shell Houston Open this week? I assume you're trying to win it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the main goal coming into every tournament. But this tournament also, it's a great preparation for next week at Augusta. So
now, a lot of guys skip this event, right, just to get ready for Augusta. Do you have a pretty strong field in Houston this week?
Yeah, there's a real strong field. Mickelson's playing, and a bunch of guys from the European Tour that are playing next week also came over.
Came over to kind of get warmed up. I'll let Frank jump in here in a minute, but I was just curious, have you been to Augusta? Have you ever played it before?
I actually I played it for the first time last week on Sunday and Monday before Bay Hill.
Wow, and your impression?
I mean, it's, you know, everything and more. It's pretty unbelievable. It was, you know, they were saying that it wasn't quite ready for the Masters yet, but I wouldn't know it. I mean, it was in absolutely perfect condition.
Beautiful place. I've been there twice to see the tournament. Recently this year, you've had some outstanding finishes. At Pebble Beach, I saw you play, and you finished in fourth, which considering that field, I'd have to say that's one of your highlights, isn't it? And then at the Northern Trust Open, you tied for fifth. And just last weekend at Bay Hill, you were right there in the running, just three strokes back after the second round. And, I mean, don't you feel your game is ramping up and you're getting ready for a good charge here at Augusta?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I've been working hard. And I think my game is starting to come around, and I feel like I'm going to be in pretty good form come next week.
Do you know, when do they make the assignments relative to who you'll be paired with at Augusta?
You know, I'm not sure. I would assume probably on Monday or Tuesday. But, you know, being my first Masters, you know, I'm kind of learning as I go.
You know, dialing back the calendar just a little bit, you know, following your year on the Nationwide Tour, I've noticed statistically going through all your records on PGA.com, you've really improved your putting strokes per round, and your save percentages are very strong. Your driving was considerably longer last year, or relatively speaking. I mean, you're probably dialed it back about 10 yards this year so far. Have you changed clubs? Are you modifying your approach to how you, tee off, you know, particularly on the par fours and par fives?
You know, not really. I think that stat might be skewed a little bit being early on in the season. You know, we played events on the West Coast where it's kind of cold and soft and you're not hitting the ball quite as far. But, I feel like I'm hitting it just as far as I was last year, but it might take a while to get that driving distance stat up a little bit, considering, you know, some of the courses that we've played in cold, soft conditions.
Talk about the greens at Augusta. Having been there twice to watch two rounds, I watched the fourth round some years ago, and I saw the Friday round the year before Tiger won it the first time. I was amazed at how fast the greens appeared in person. Did you get a sense for that when you were down there practicing recently?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the reason is that, you know, when you watch it on TV, it really doesn't do it justice. The greens, they have so much undulation in them, and some of these putts that you're watching on TV, they look like they're flat when in fact they're straight downhill and you know, lightning fast on greens that are like 13 on the centimeter. I mean, it's they can get pretty scary out there.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago. I can't remember exactly how long ago it was, but Tiger, excuse me, had a birdie or an eagle putt on one of the backside. I don't know if it was 12 or 13, but he was behind the hole and putted it into the creek. And I'm thinking, if Tiger Woods can misgauge a putt sufficiently to hit it into the water on from the green, that tells you how fast these greens are. But I guess, Steve, the one thing that always amazes me is the mental toughness of guys on the PGA Golf Tour. As a guy that played college basketball, you know, you're kind of out there by yourself, and it's you and your caddy, which leads me, who's on your bag, and how long have you had that relationship?
A good friend of mine, G.W. Cable, is my caddy, and he's been caddying for me for a little over a year and a half now. Actually, maybe more. Almost coming. It's going to be coming up on 2 years come July. And we've known each other for a long time. We actually kind of grew up playing golf together in Northern Virginia, and he's a real good player himself. And, you know, if it wasn't for some back issues that he has, he might be out here also.
Curiosity, I noticed going on the various websites, I see you're playing with a Titleist ball. What equipment do you use today, and how important is the equipment overall?
Yeah, I use pretty much Cleveland stuff through the bag, high bore driver, high bore 3-wood, a launcher 5-wood, and I use DG Tour irons. And I've been using that same equipment for a long, long time. I've had the driver for about 2 years, the 3-wood for about 2 years, the 5-wood for since 2004, and the irons for, you know, the same model irons for about 2 years. And I think it's real important. For me, I'm not the kind of person that tinkers much with my equipment. I kind of, you know, find something I like and stick with it just because, you know, I know what it's going to do when I hit it.
All right, you know I was going to come ask you this. Last year at the British Open, you get a last-minute entry because of a player dropped out. You have an incredible Thursday and Friday, and you're tied with Tom Watson, one of the legends of the game. And there you are on Saturday morning, or I guess what it over there would be Saturday afternoon, and you're teeing off, and everybody in the world is watching you and Tom Watson. How hard was that for you?
You know, it was pretty difficult the first couple of holes, but after that, you know, I kind of settled in and I felt okay. You know, I believe it or not, I felt like I was going to be more nervous than I actually was. But you're right. You know, if you start thinking about everybody's watching you and people all over the world are watching you, then, you know, that can be a huge weight on your shoulders. But I was able to kind of put that in the back of my mind and not really think about it and just go out and play.
Yes. And you could sort of file that away in your memory banks to prepare you potentially here down at the Masters, because you never know who you're going to be paired with down there.
Exactly. You're right. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how they do the pairings, but I'm assuming there might be a chance I might get paired with Tiger. And, you know, that's going to probably be you know, pretty big circus, but
yeah, I was going to say, if you get paired with Tiger, you probably have a few people watching you play. I was just going to ask you, you know, from a psychology standpoint, particularly from Charlottesville, have you ever done any work with Bob Rotella or anybody along that line?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to Bob Rotella a couple of times, and also Dr. Bob Winters, who worked under Rotella at UVA. So I've talked a little bit with both of those guys.
And what do you when you talk to those guys? What are you trying to accomplish? Just try to get you calmed down?
Well, just trying to the most important thing is to try to stay out of your own way. You know, when you got too many thoughts going through your head and you're thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about when you're out there, it's hard to play well. So basically, I just I don't try to get too crazy with it. I just try to make sure that you know, I'm my mind's in a good place and I'm just thinking about the task at hand.
Yeah, I guess the one thing is in golf is regardless of what the last shot was like, you got to move on to the next one and forget about the last one.
Easier said than done. You're absolutely right.
You know, one thing we always do, Steve, is we always ask our Wahoo athletes, what was your favorite sports moment while competing for the University of Virginia?
My favorite sports moment, well, while I was at school, I was at the basketball game when we beat, I think Duke was number one, and we beat him at the buzzer, and Adam Hall had that tip in overtime. That was probably my favorite.
Yeah, I was broadcasting that game. I remember it well.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite Virginia sports moment. But for golf, you know, my favorite memory was probably, you know, us winning the tournament at the Wofford Invitational my senior year. That was the last tournament our team won, and everybody played well, and it was kind of tight coming down at the end, and we were able to pull it off, and that was, you know, probably the most fresh memory in my mind. So that's probably, you know, my favorite memory from the golf team.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Steve, I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. Jim and I both enjoyed having you, and we want you to promise us, now that you've appeared on Who's Talking, we've gotten this inaugural visit out of the way. When you go down there and you tear up Augusta National next week, we want you to come back on and tell us what it's like.
You got it. Absolutely.
Yeah, do you have to give them your coat size in advance just in case?
You know, I don't know if I have. I don't know if they're expecting me to win. So hopefully,
well,
hopefully I can, you know, kind of surprise them a little bit.
Well, good luck to you. And again, as Frank said, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, and it's terrific what you're doing out there on the tour.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, guys.
Steve, have a great tournament down there at the Shell Open.
All right. Thank you.
We're headed for our next break here. You've been listening to Who's Talking. We just enjoyed having Steve Marino with us. And on the other side, we're going to cover the spring sports update.